Open your Bibles, the book of Exodus, chapter 28. This is a tremendous Tuesday night crowd, and we certainly thank the Lord for each of you that are here. And I, like Dr. Belcher, very mindful of the fact there's a myriad of places you could be on a Tuesday night, but here you are in the house of God with the people of God getting ready to hear the Word of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in the service tonight. I so appreciate all of the special music and sets the stage, I believe, for the preaching of the Word of God. Whenever, Dr. Belcher, someone says to me that music is not all that important in the work of God, I realize that I'm listening to someone who really doesn't know their Bible. Because you can't read very far and you can't read very long in the written voice of God without seeing the great import that God has placed upon the ministry of music. It was my hero, Billy Sunday, who said that bad church music, is as worthless as a glass eye at a keyhole. Billy Sunday said that. And that's about how I feel in regards to bad church music. But that's never the case here at the great Church of the Open Door. I find it very difficult to believe that tomorrow night, if the Lord stays his coming, will be the last night of our fall revival meeting. But I would encourage you to do your best to not only be back, but to bring someone with you. Mrs. Hamblin and I were so blessed this afternoon. We had run to Target just not too far from here to pick up a couple things and bumped into our dear brother, a retired veterinarian, and he had a stack of revival flyers and was passing them out right there in Target. Such a blessing. Brought tears to my eyes. And then he shared with me that about a week ago he was out for soul winning and he had a stack of revival flyers, and my precious friend Dr. Belcher called him over to himself, pointed at the revival flyer and said, I quote, "It's a crying shame we have to have Hamblin's picture on that flyer." Oh, aren't the brethren a blessing. But I appreciate so much you being in the service tonight, and I would encourage you to do your dead level best to be back tomorrow night and to bring someone with you. Book of Exodus, chapter 28. I remember many years ago, I was preaching in a conference, and one night they had a younger preacher preach in front of me. He got up, he read his text, and started to preach. It was one of those kind of messages where, Brother Josh, everything was wrong, nothing was right. I think he even preached against breathing. It was all wrong. And while he was preaching, I just took out a pen and a 3x5 card, and I wrote down this statement: there's more to preaching than hollering and hammering. Now wait a minute, hold it. One of my doctorates is in hollering and hammering. But there's more to preaching, I wrote down, than hollering and hammering. There ought to be always an element of helping people in the message. And that's the alley that I'm going to try to bowl down tonight. I want to be a help. You know, from time to time, the people of God need messages of strength and solace and stamina. Some would have us believe that every time a preacher stands to preach, he ought to skin people. I've never believed that. In fact, if you skin anything, you're going to kill it. I don't believe in skinning people when I preach. On the heels of that, Brother Levi, I do believe in shearing the sheep awfully close. But I don't believe in skinning them. And so with the help of the Lord, I want to try to hit that bullseye in the message tonight. Book of Exodus, chapter 28. And I'll begin reading with verse number 31 through verse number 35, where we find the text of the message. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I certainly want to welcome those that are watching by way of internet. Thank you so much for joining us from literally around the world. No telling who's watching, no telling who's viewing. by way of internet. And thank you so much for being with us. And for those of you that are watching by way of internet, if you send us $5, we'll send you a vial of holy water. not really, but I've always wanted to do that. The book of Exodus, chapter 28, and I'll begin reading with verse number 31 through verse number 35, where we find the text to the message. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Please look back with me at verse number 34. Book of Exodus, chapter 28, and verse 34. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, pointers from the pomegranate. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If I know my heart, I want to be a blessing. But the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. There's not a single page of the Bible, but what both the servant of God and the saint of God can gain help for their service for God. From the smallest item or slightest individual can surface the most significant insight, inspiration, and instruction. Divine nuances should always be duly noted, especially when they come from between the covers of the Word of God. Pointers from the pomegranate. In the book of Exodus, chapter 28, we find the holy particulars of the high priest. Now let me just say in passing that this is one of a myriad of chapters in the Word of God that takes one topic, that takes one truth, that takes one theme and runs it the length and breadth of that chapter. I'm talking about from top to bottom, from ceiling to floor. I'm talking about from side to side. I'm talking about from wall to wall. This chapter, Exodus chapter 28, is dealing again with the holy particulars of the high priest. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the ministry of the high priest, verses 1 through 3. The materials of the high priest, verses 4 through 30. The mantle of the high priest, verses 31 through 35. The mitre of the high priest, verses 36 through 39. And then the mission of the high priest, verses 40 through 43. It is while the prophet Moses is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the mantle of the high priest that a person sees the first mention of the word pomegranate in the Bible. Verse 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. 23 times from the first time of Exodus 28, 34, till the last time of Haggai 2:19, this Mediterranean fruit, known for being both bitter and sweet, is mentioned. Now, on a strictly personal note, some of my earliest childhood memories go back to the pomegranate. I remember when I was but a boy, my mother, about this time of the year, the fall of every year, would make sure that on the kitchen table there was always a pomegranate. From the fruit bowl of the Bible, there's figs, 1 Kings 4:25, apples, Proverbs 7:2, grapes, Numbers 13:23, and pomegranates, Exodus 28:34. I was preaching Dr. Belcher this message in a conference last December, nearly a year ago, and I said that my mother had told me that the pomegranate had another name. It's called the Indian apple. After preaching in that conference in New Jersey, lady came to the book table and said, well, they may be called Indian apples in Michigan, but here in New Jersey, we call them Chinese apples. So I have no clue what you call them here in Maryland. This pomegranate is a type of both the bitter and sweet seasons the believer sojourns in their service for the Savior. The sister verse of Exodus 28:34 is Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Dr. Lee Robertson, who preached in this very building, said, everything worthwhile in my life was born through troubles. Never forget, when the dedicated child of God comes to a pungent situation, they need to just get another bite of the pomegranate of service and watch it become, oh my, a pleasant scenario. If you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, when the believer, that's me, and that's you if you're saved, when the believer, the dedicated child of God, comes to a pungent situation, they just need to get another bite of the pomegranate of service and watch it become a pleasant scenario. Keep in mind that the pomegranate is the only fruit known to man that is both bitter and sweet. That's both sweet and bitter. Friend, you and I, those of us that are both saved and serving, need to learn the fascinating, oh my, benefits from this biblical fruit. Quickly tonight, there are four. Plug into your life practical truths from a pomegranate for the believer's life and labor. Now, this is a message for the choir member. This is the message for the church musician. This is a message for the Sunday school teacher. This is a message for the Sunday school bus driver. This is a message for the nursery worker. This is a message for the sound man. This is a message for the church musician. This is a message for those involved in the work of God. Pointers from the pomegranate. Number one, the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the Apostle Paul tells us that one of the hardest experiences in Christian service is to see those walk away that were once in the very same eternal harness. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this spot in the scriptures that as the old apostle stood in the shadows of death when he really needed a friend and the encouragement a friend could give, Demas forsook him, having loved this present world. Anybody that serves the Savior for any length of time will be disappointed, dismayed, and even discouraged by some disloyal Demas. An unknown poet must have known well, Dr. Belcher, about this unpleasant moment when he penned the empty chair at the table, a vacant seat, where once a friend, now a bitter defeat. The laughter silenced, the joy now gone, a love betrayed, a lonely dawn. But the secret of Brother Paul's survival of such sorrow is simply verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16. Oh my. And then comes verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. 2 Timothy 4:17, because he just kept penning hurt, or a person could say plain hurt, he came to the place of the Lord's presence even in his heartbreak. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate that the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Breaking news, game time demands plain hurt. You see, you're going to be in the will of God. You're going to be in the work of God. You're going to be singing in the choir. You're going to be serving in the Sunday school. You're going to be speaking in the pulpit. And all of a sudden, in the will of God and in the work of God, you're going to get a bite of the pomegranate of service, and it is going to be bitter. I'm not talking about being backslidden. I'm not talking about being out of the will of God. I'm not talking about being away from the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. But I mean, you're going to be smack dab in the middle of the will of God, and you're going to get a bite of the pomegranate of service, and it's going to be bitter. But wait a minute, hold the phone. It is a pomegranate. It's not a strawberry. It's not a banana. It's not an apple. It's a pomegranate. And so there's going to be a bitter bite, but then there's going to be a sweet bite. There's going to be a sweet bite, but then there's going to be a bitter bite. And what we need to do when we hit that bitter bite is just get another bite. It's just get another bite. It's just get another bite. When our grandson Evan was 9 years old, the Lord's blessed Mrs. Samuel and I with four precious grandchildren. There's Madison, there's Mason, there's Evan in Brooklyn. And you know, Mark Twain was so right when he said, grandchildren are the blessing you receive for not killing your children. He was so right. And the Lord's blessed Mrs. Samuel and I with four precious grandchildren. And when our oldest grandson, Evan, was 9 years old, he played junior varsity tackle football. And Mrs. Samuel and I went to one of his games. And in one play, Dr. Belcher, he took an extremely hard hit. So much so that the referee stopped the game and the team doctor came out and gave our grandson smelling salts because he was knocked out to revive him. And then they put him on a little golf cart and drove him off to the side of the field and put him on the injury bench. And Mrs. Hamlin cried. After about 10 minutes, our grandson Evan, we watched him from the stand, slowly stood up, limped over to the sideline, and not saying a word, stood right next to the coach, the head coach. If the head coach moved right, our grandson Evan moved right. If the head coach moved left, our grandson Evan moved left. In fact, you could not even pass a penny between our grandson and that head coach wherever he went. I mean, our grandson was right there. And all of a sudden, the head coach looked down, realized it was our grandson, smacked him on the top of the helmet, sent him back in the game, and I cried. Hey, child of God, keep playing hurt. And while you do, take another bite of the pomegranate because the next bite, take another bite of the pomegranate because the next bite just might be the sweetest bite you've ever had. Amen. The work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. Number two, don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights, or overconfident in the sweet days. Acts 20 and 18, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. In Acts 20 and 18, the physician Luke tells us that one of the grandest peaks into the Apostle Paul's godly personality was the 2 years and 3 months he spent in Asia. It's the subtle fold in the fabric of Scripture that so many don't find. After what manner I've been with you, oh my, at all seasons. Boy, I like the note in the margin of the Hamlin Reference Bible because it reads, the Moses of the New Testament didn't live a roller coaster of emotions Christian life. Listen to it again. In all seasons, those are good seasons. Those are bad seasons. Those are seasons, oh my, that are in between the good and the bad. And in the fold of the fabric of Scripture, we get a peek, Brother Young, into the godly personality. I call him the Moses of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate. Don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. Now, there are several things that will give the believer a steady as we go sojourn. It may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but first of all, the Scripture that counsel us. Psalm 119, 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Oh, a thing that will give the saint a steady as we go sojourn is the scriptures that counsel us. The King James Bible that you and I carry contains 66 counselors. Oh, yes, they're books, but they're more than books. 66 counselors to help us deal with the trials and the testings and the tribulations of life. Boy, think about it tonight. You can get counsel from Ezekiel. Think about it tonight. You can get counsel from Jeremiah. Think about it tonight. You can get counsel from Isaiah. Think about it tonight. You can get counsel from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Friend, listen, when you and I have in our hand a King James Bible, what we have is 66 counselors to help us along our spiritual sojourn. The scriptures that counsel us. Secondly, the saints, oh my, that come beside us. 1 Samuel 23:16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. You see, a thing that will give the believer a steady as we go sojourn is the saints that come beside us. Some child of God helped you back on your feet when you were down for the count. Boy, thank God for the people of God. I believe that some of the best people in all the world in Carroll County are in members of the church, the Open Door, are in this fall revival meeting. You're not listening to a preacher tonight that is critical of God's people. You're listening to a preacher tonight that cherishes God's people. The saints that come beside us. Thirdly, the Spirit that comfort us. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, a thing that will give the believer a steady as we go sojourn, and he's not a thing but a person, is the Spirit that comfort us. In upside down times, the believer has living inside of them the Holy Ghost, which provides a spiritual gyroscope that can keep them always right side up. Can I give you a little theology tonight? Not too much, it would hurt you, but a little bit of theology. When you got saved, I think about Brother Brandon, who 2 weeks ago trusted Christ and followed the Lord in believer's baptism Sunday morning, and has been in this revival meeting Sunday night, Monday night, and now Tuesday night. And I believe by faith you'll be here tomorrow night, Brother Brandon, I do. If you don't, I'm coming after you with a meat cleaver. But anyhow, but Brother Brandon, amen, 2 weeks ago trusted Christ as a Savior. And when he did, you know what happened? Just a little bit of theology, not too much would hurt you, but to help you. When he trusted Christ as a Savior, the Holy Ghost, Brother Howell, the Holy Ghost moved in and took up permanent occupants. You see, in the Old Testament, the temple was a building, and in the New Testament, the temple is a body. So whether you've been saved like our new brother Dave's, or like many of us decades, it does not matter. Living, oh my, living inside of you is the Holy Ghost of God. And I wonder sometimes if we realize that we often say things that must grieve the Holy Ghost. And I don't think, Dr. Belcher, we do it on purpose. I don't. I think we do it ignorantly. Like we'll see a brother or sister in Christ and they'll be going through something and we'll say something like this. Boy, I don't know how they can face that. I don't know how they can go through that. I don't know how they can be up against that. Now listen, we ought to have a better handle on the Word of God than that, because you know what, friend? A child of God can go through anything, and a child of God can face anything, and a child of God can be up against anything, because the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Trinity, tabernacles inside of them. And I think we must grieve the Spirit of God when we say things like that, not realizing that the Bible tells us and the Bible teaches us he's living inside. Oh, that every single believer that was in this service and watching by way of the internet would realize that those things that will give the believer there a steady as we go sojourn is the scriptures that counsel counsel us, the saints that come beside us, and the Spirit that comfort us. Boy, in these 46 years now, being saved and attempting to serve the Lord, there have been some times when the burden has been so great that I've picked up the Bible and I've not even been able to read it. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, you just said a moment ago that it's the Scripture that counsels us that can get us through those tough times. Exactly. But I'll tell you, there have been some times when the burden has been so great. You've been there, Dr. Belcher. When I've tried to pick up the Bible and I've tried to read a verse and I couldn't read it for the tears, but at the same time, just picking up the Word of God, just having it in my hand, though I've not, because of the tears, been able to see the verse, there's just something about this supernatural book that even though when you can't read it, just holding it does something for you. Look back at the text. Exodus 28 and 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about General Ulysses S. Grant's chief of staff. A lawyer, John A. Rawlins, was closer to Grant than any other during the war. It was to Rawlins that Grant gave his pledge that he would abstain from intoxicating liquors. When he broke Brother Young that pledge, Rawlins went to him and with great earnestness pleaded with him for the sake of himself and the sake of the great and holy cause of the nation to refrain from strong drink. In the front of the Capitol at Washington today, there stands the magnificent monument of General Grant sitting on his horse in characteristic battle scene, but at the other end, I feel a preaching storm getting ready to break in here tonight, really I do, but at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, a little to the south of the avenue is Rawlins Park, where there stands a very ordinary, commonplace statue of John A. Rawlins. If you'd be extremely transparent Christian, and you've been in the battle for God in good a while, you'd have to say that there's been some brother, there's been some sister, just like Rawlins, that's kept you on your horse. See, you're going to be serving God. I mean in the center of the will of God. And you're going to get a bite and it's going to be bitter. And you're going to take the soul winning training here at the Church of the Open Door that the whole world knows about. And you're going to be trained and taught how to be a personal soul winner. And you're going to get one of those badges. And you're going to fill your pocket with gospel tracts. And you're going to get one of those Christian workers' New Testaments, a soul winner's New Testament. And you're going to stand out. And you're going to try to keep somebody out of hell. And all of a sudden, I mean in the will of God, and trying to do right, and trying to serve the Lord, you're going to get a bite of the pomegranate of service. And it's going to be bitter. But you got to get another bite. You got to get another bite. You got to get another bite. You got to get, it's not a banana. It's not a grape. I like what Brother Lester Roloff used to say. He used to say that a raisin is a grape that lost its joy. You're going to be serving God. And you're going to take a bite. And it's going to be bitter. But you just got to get another bite. You just got to get another bite. You just got to get another bite. And it might be that the next bite is bitter. And it might be the following bite is bitter. And it might be, I don't know, 5 bites later, it's bitter. But when that happens, oh my, I don't know if this is helping anybody, but it's helping me. You may get 5 bites in a row, and they're all bitter. But all that means is you've just come closest to the sweetest bite you've ever had. And it might be the next one. There's no way in this world that our precious friends, Dr. and Mrs. Norris Belcher, could be here for 3 decades without learning this truth. You just got to get another bite, and you just got to get another bite, and you just got to get another bite. You see, the reason that you quit that Sunday school class, and the reason you dropped out of the choir, and the reason that you turned in your bus keys, and the reason you don't preach in the nursing home or at the rescue mission anymore is because you stopped getting a bite. Because the next bite just might and may have been the sweetest bite of your Christian life. Don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights, overconfident in the sweet days. Number 3, bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. In Genesis 18:25, the prophet Moses tells us that from the prayer closet of Father Abraham, while he interceded for the city of Sodom, comes one of the greatest foundational truths of all the ages, that God's, oh my, complete awareness always brings his correct action. The hymn writer wrapped this same forever fact in music and melody when he wrote, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate that bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. Newsflash, we know that God is going to do right in unpleasant times, but the question remains, will you? And you can. And you will. Even through the tears and fears of a serious physician's report, an unjust hurt, and a grave of a loved one, by taking another bite from the pomegranate providence has placed in your hand, dear child of God, bitter times, oh my, still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. And then number 4, and last of all, my time's gone, not only number 1, look at the text, Exodus 28:34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. You say, okay, Dr. Hammond, I'll give that to you, but I think it might be a little bit of a stretch to take an Old Testament scripture and put it in this age of grace. Well, please look. I'm so glad you asked that. Please look at verse number 35 at one word that's in that verse. It is the word minister. That's what you do when you teach a Sunday school class. That's what you do when you work the sound. That's what you do when you play these instruments and play in the orchestra. It's what you do when you sing in the choir. It's what you do when you teach in the Christian school. It's what you do, Dr. Belcher, as you pastor this great church and preach out across the country. That's what you do, Dr. Hamlin, as you hold revival meetings and preach in conferences. That's what you do, missionary, as you there try to win people to Christ on foreign soil. That's what you do, and you fill in the slot of what you try to do for the Savior. You're ministering. And there's going to be times when in the will of God and in the work of God, you get a bite and it's bitter. But remember, it's a pomegranate. A pomegranate isn't just sweet, it's bitter too. And it just isn't bitter, it is sweet too. Interesting. that pomegranate had to be on the garment of the high priest. This is not optional. This is not take it or leave it. This is not preferential. This is, he had to do it. He had to have, oh my, that pomegranate on the hem of his robe. And the bell would only ring when it hit the pomegranate. And the only way people ever know that you and I have the joy, oh my, the only way that you and I, people ever know that you and I have the joy of the Lord is when the bell of our joy hits that pomegranate. That sometimes is bitter. But wait a minute, sometimes it's sweet. I'm preaching to someone tonight that you were doing right and you were living right and you were walking right. And all of a sudden, I mean in the will of God, in the work of God, you took a bite of the pomegranate of service and it was bitter and you quit. I plead with you, get another bite. Get another bite. Get another bite. Because the next bite, Brother Young, just might be the sweetest bite that you've ever had. The only fruit known to man, Mediterranean fruit, that's both bitter and sweet and sweet and bitter. Number one, the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. Number two, don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights, overconfident in the sweet days. Number three, bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. And then number four, and last of all, sweet saints come from bitter situations. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is sweet saints come from bitter situations. In Acts 16:25, the physician Luke tells us that the apostle Paul and his travel companion Silas, well inside a prison cell, remained delightful even in a disagreeable place, to the extent that after stripes and supplications and songs, they engage in soul winning and see several saved. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about this scene in the scriptures. Here are two of God's men beaten and in pain and disgrace and with a threatening tomorrow, but they're even among strangers far away from home, yet instead of despair, there is joy and gladness. Now, on a strictly personal note, what I appreciate about Brother Paul and Brother Silas right here is in that jail cell, they didn't take their cell phones and huddle up and get a selfie and then post on Facebook, it's so hard serving Jesus. Hello? You say, you preaching to me? Well, Cinderella, you may want to put your slipper on. They didn't complain. Preach, Hamlin, preach. They didn't bellyache. They didn't say, woe is me, I think I'll eat a worm and die. No, sir, no, ma'am. They rejoiced. They shouted. They praised God. They reveled. You see, sweet saints come from bitter situations. Bible says in Proverbs 27:7, my soul loatheth my soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Did you get the email that even when you're truly hungering for God in your life, even those things that are sour have a tremendously sweet taste to them? I can't explain it. unless you experience it. But sometimes the deepest valleys have the biggest blessings. Sometimes the greatest storms have the biggest victories. Sometimes that which you think will wreck you, spiritually speaking, has a way of working something great in your life. But you got to get another bite. I believe I'm preaching to a group of people tonight and those watching by way of internet that all you need to do is just get another bite. And if that bite is bitter, if that bite is sour, you just got to get a bite after that and a bite after that and a bite after that, because by and by there will be that sweet bite, because that's just the nature of the pomegranate. I'm closing with this. After the homegoing of my mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., January 7, 2007, his family, Dr. Belcher, gave me two of his briefcases that he instructed them to do. One briefcase was the briefcase that contained anywhere from 800 to 800 plus sermon outlines. Many, Dr. Belcher, those signature sermons that the Elijah of our day preached, we heard in person, were in that briefcase. Then the other briefcase that he had told his family to give me was his personal briefcase. And Mrs. Hamblin and I, when we opened it, we were absolutely amazed, moved, and astonished by its personal contents. There was, and I can't even hardly tell it without tears, there was my gospel tract when I opened it, first thing I saw. I'd given Dr. Malone, Dr. Belcher, my gospel tract, his first one that was published nearly, and I didn't know it, but all those years he had kept that, Brother Young, that gospel tract in his own personal briefcase. When we opened it, there it was. Also in his briefcase, there was an electronic motel key. Also in his briefcase was leather case in a pair of prescription sunglasses. Also in his personal briefcase, there was an offering envelope. There was. And yes, as an evangelist, I looked to see if there was an offering in the envelope. Say, was there? Well, that's none of your business. There was a transistor radio, portable transistor radio. There's some in this crowd tonight, you have no idea what I meant when I said that. Dr. Malone loved sports, and he carried with him, Dr. Belcher, a portable transistor radio, so wherever he was at preaching, he could always tune in to either baseball, basketball, football, checkers, I mean marbles, it didn't matter. He loved sports. Dr. Belcher and I were preaching in a conference together, and pastor shared with us that he had Dr. Malone for a meeting. And Dr. Malone came right from the airport. You remember this, Dr. Belcher. And they brought him right from the airport to the meeting, and they were in the pastor's office, and pastor said, now, Dr. Malone, here's the order of service. You'll preach second. And Dr. Malone said, can't do that. Got to preach first. And then I have to have a driver take me immediately back to the motel. I've got an appointment. And the pastor said, well, no, Dr. Malone, we've promoted it. We've pushed it. We've publicized it. You're preaching second. And he said, no. I've got an appointment back at the motel. I will preach first. You get me a driver. You take me back. Dr. Belcher, you remember this. Take me back to the motel. I've got an appointment. And so he preached first, and they had a driver. And just as he got done preaching, out the back door he went. They got him to his motel room. Next morning, they had a morning meeting. Dr. Malone walked into the pastor's office and said, hey, any of you fellas see that basketball game last night? Man, it was awesome. That was his appointment. He loved sports. But also, in his personal briefcase, there was a yellowed with time, small obituary. It read in part, Sylvia E. Malone, funeral will be Tuesday at 2 p.m. from Percy Funeral Home for Sylvia Elaine Malone, infant daughter of Dr. Thomas L. and Joyce Harnard Malone. Sylvia died at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Saturday after an illness of 3 weeks. She was born in Pontiac January 8, 1954. From January 20th, 1954 to January 7th, 2007, every time he opened his briefcase to take out his Bible to preach somewhere in this country, he was reminded of his daughter who went from a hospital nursery to the baby's memorial section at the cemetery. Old members of the Emmanuel Baptist Church told me personally that they remember that Sunday specifically with Mrs. Malone still in the hospital, that Dr. Malone preached the morning message, and then between the morning service and the evening service, he carried that little baby casket of his own daughter and preached the committal service and was back in the pulpit that Sunday night. And Dr. Belcher, he never ever said one word about it. For 53 years, Dr. Tom Malone bore this big burden, but still maintained the testimony of a gracious giant for God all the way to the grave. Hear me tonight, because he just took another bite. He just took another bite. He just took another bite of the pomegranate. Sweet saints still come from bitter situations. We've seen from the pages of the Bible the practical and powerful truth that comes from the pomegranate. The difference between enjoying and enduring your Christian life, marking decades and not days of serving Christ, it's just simply put in taking another bite, in taking another bite, in taking another bite of the pomegranate of service. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but if the Lord stays his coming next year in this revival meeting, you'll either be in or out by what you do with this truth. Because if you don't get another bite, it won't be long till you're out. If you don't get another bite, it won't be long till you're mad about this and miffed about that. If you don't get another bite from this year to next year, you'll be out. Because you simply didn't get that next bite, which just might be the sweetest bite of your Christian life. Pointers from the pomegranate. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Was up several times through the night last night praying about what to preach tonight. Me, very transparent, very transparent. I had another message, Dr. Belcher, I wanted to preach. But God just wouldn't give me liberty. And as I was praying last night and throughout today, he kept bringing my heart back to this truth. Pointers from the pomegranate. I don't know who's here but what needed this message. I don't know who's here but would say, Dr. Hamlin, you may not know why you preached it, but I know. I needed it. Because in recent days, I've been serving God. I've been in the choir. I've been in the nursery. I've been in the bus ministry. I've been in the Sunday school. I've been on church staff. I've been in Christians on Christian school staff. And I got a bite, and it was bitter. But I found out tonight that the next bite just might be the sweetest bite of my Christian life. Because it is a pomegranate. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder who'd lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm God's child. If I were to die right now, I'm sure that heaven is my eternal home." And you'd lift your hand, saved and sure. Saved and sure. Saved and sure. Thank you. May put them down. Blessing Brandon. See, put your hand up. That's awesome, buddy. Awesome. You're here and you couldn't raise your hand, but you'd lift it now. And by raising it, you're saying, "I need to be saved and I need to trust Christ. And preacher, I sure don't want to die and go to hell." And right now you'd lift your hand and say, "Pray for me, I need to be saved." Here tonight and as a Christian, somewhere along the message, God spoke to your heart. And you'd say, "Preacher, by the help of God, by the grace of God, I'm just going to get another bite. And no matter how many bites I have to take, I'm just going to keep getting another bite and getting another bite and getting another bite till I get to that sweet spot. And if the next bite after that sweet bite is bitter, is sour, then all that means is I'm going to get another bite." And you'd lift your hand tonight and say, "Preacher, I needed that truth. Pray for me." Hands are going up all over the house. All over the house. Main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor. Pointers from the pomegranate. We stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you. The kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that not one in any way would grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. May this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name.